Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. And a very warm welcome to all our visitors. And if you are here for the first time, we want to extend a very warm welcome to you this morning. And we pray that you will be very happy to fellowship with you. So please do not go away immediately after the worship service, but please stay around so that you will give us the opportunity to fellowship with you. And we are very happy for that there are those who have been away from us for some time, and they are back here to worship with us this morning. The Lord bless you, and we pray that at the conclusion of this worship service, all of us here may be able to say that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. Now the topic this morning is, what is the Lord's Day to me? What is the Lord's Day to me? Now, very often we hear people ask this question, what can I do on the Lord's Day? As if the Lord's Day is so very, very restrictive. And so we ask this question, what can I do on the Lord's Day? But dear friends, rather than asking ourselves that question, I propose that we should be asking ourselves this question. What must I do on the Lord's Day? What can I do on the Lord's Day? Now, these are questions that would be more appropriate for us to ask on a day like today, the Lord's Day. Now, some time ago, three young ladies, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, went on a weekend holiday. They invited the fourth young lady to go along with them, and this young lady, the fourth young lady, was also a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. This fourth lady declined the invitation and decided to stay back. The reason was that she wanted to observe the Lord's Day the way the Lord wanted her to observe, and she wanted to go to the house of the Lord to worship Him. So off went these three young ladies, all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, for the holiday. And what a fiasco that holiday turned out to be, because the hotel that they stayed in had a short circuit and the hotel caught fire. And so it was quite disastrous for them. They obviously did not go to church, and there was no attempt on their part to go to church at all on that Lord's Day. And I'm sure this young lady who didn't join the party and who stayed behind must have been very, very thankful that she did not participate in that trip. Yes, not that she was gleeful that the other had that nasty experience, but she was, I'm sure, very thankful to the Lord that she was spared of that nasty experience. So the question is, what must I do on the Lord's Day? Now the Word of God is very clear. It is given as part of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, as I said, this is part of the Ten Commandments. The Jews observe this day, the Sabbath day, as the day of rest, because the one true living God had set the pattern. He created over 6 days, and on the seventh day, He rested. And so we have these words given to us in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Please turn to this page. Exodus 20, 8 to 11. Yes, I'd like to read these four verses to you. Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, this is part of the Ten Commandments, all right? Verse 9. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, coming back to that account that I gave you at the start of the message, yes, the question is, why did these three experience the fiasco? Yes, was it something that was coincidental, Or was it something that was providential? Neither believe that it was providential. It was the Lord's gentle chastisement on them for not observing the Lord's Day as they should. Now, the Jews observed this day, the Sabbath day, as the holy day. It was a day of rest for them. It was a day on which all their entire attention was to be focused on the one true living God. And let us understand also that it was a sign, actually, of the covenant that God made between himself and his people, the Jews. Yes, God wanted them to understand that they were a sanctified people. God had made them a holy people. God had set them apart for himself. Now, where do we find this teaching? We find this teaching in Exodus 31, in the passage that was read earlier on. Exodus 31, verse 13. In the responsive reading, we read that. Exodus 31, verse 13. All right, let me read that for you again. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. So the Lord wanted it to be clear to the children of Israel that they were a sanctified people. The Lord had chosen them for himself. The Lord had set them apart for himself. They were meant to be a holy people. And one of the ways to remind the children of Israel that they were his people, a covenant people, was for them to observe the Sabbath. Verse 16. All right. Exodus 31, verse 16. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign, you see, a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So the Sabbath was meant to be a sign also between God and his people, that God was their God and that they were his people, specially chosen by him, sanctified by him. Now, the Sabbath was also observed actually for the children to remember that there was going to come to them, the true believers in the one true living God, an eternal Sabbath. Yes, it will be something that they will be enjoying with great pleasure forever and ever, the eternal Sabbath. So the Sabbath day that they observed was to serve as a reminder of that eternal Sabbath that was to come for them. Now, we believers observe the Lord's Day. We don't observe Saturday. They observe Saturday as the Sabbath, but we observe the Lord's Day, Sunday, as our day of rest. Now, the reason we do so is that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rose up on the Lord's Day. That is why we observe this day. And then in the early church, you find that the Christians actually met on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, to worship the Lord. So that's the reason why we observe the Lord's Day as our day of rest. Now, the Jews observed Sabbath as the day in which the one true living God had completed his work of creation, and the Lord rested on that day. But we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ observe that day not only for that reason, but for the fact that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rose up on the Lord Jesus Christ on the Lord's Day, had completed his work of salvation, work of redemption, and rose up on the Lord's Day. So that's the reason why we worship the Lord on the Lord's Day and why we observe the Lord's Day as the day of rest. Now, as the Sabbath was a sign to the Jews that God was their God and that they were his people, our observance of the Lord's Day is to remind us that we are actually God's people. We have been purchased by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then when we come into the house of the Lord to observe the Lord's Day, to worship him, we are also reminding ourselves of the eternal rest that is coming for us that will be ours in the future. When we leave this earth, when we go into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be enjoying that eternal rest forever and ever and ever. And when we come into the house of the Lord to worship Him, and on the Lord's Day, we are also reminding ourselves that we have got a living Savior. He's alive, dwelling in us. So you see, the reasons why should be very, very happy on the Lord's Day. Yes, it's a day of rest, a day of worship, a day in which we are reminded that we are God's people and that He's our God, we are His redeemed, and it is a day that serves as a reminder for our eternal rest, and it is also a day that reminds us that we have got the living Savior. So, what should the Lord's Day be for us, my dear friends? Surely, my dear friends, it must be a day of rejoicing. We must be looking forward to the Lord's Day. Every day of the week, we must be looking forward to the Lord's Day. Now, there are some people who say the Old Testament laws do not apply anymore today, because today we are living in New Testament time, we are living in the age of grace, and therefore the Old Testament laws do not apply. Now, that teaching is erroneous, it's incorrect. Now, it is true, two sets of laws that were given to God's people no longer apply today. Namely, the civil laws and the ceremonial laws. Now, the civil laws were given to the Jews because the Israelites were supposed to be a theocracy. God was to be their ruler. So, but Israel did not want to have God as their God, and so it became just like any other nation. So it no longer is a theocracy, and therefore the civil laws do not apply. And then the ceremonial laws also do not apply anymore. They have been abrogated because the Lord Jesus Christ has already come. You see, the civil laws were given to the Jews to enable them to worship the one true living God, the way God wanted them to worship Him. And then they were also given to teach them to look forward to the coming of the Messiah. And since the Messiah had already come, and the Lord Jesus Christ had come to fulfill all the laws, then there was no longer any need for the ceremonial laws to continue to apply. So the ceremonial laws and the civil laws do not apply to us today. But friends, the moral laws, the Ten Commandments, continue to apply. They apply in the Old Testament, they continue to apply to us. So let us understand this truth. And then the Sabbath, the observance of the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, is a law that applies to us. Now the only difference is that today we no longer observe Saturday as the day of rest, but we observe Sunday, the Lord's Day, as the day of rest. As I said, the main reason is because the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead on the Lord's Day, and the early church set us the example of worshipping the Lord on the Lord's Day. So what must we do? What must we do on the Lord's Day? Worship Him, of course. That is what we must do. Now the woman that we read about in Luke chapter 13 suffered from this infirmity that afflicted her for 18 years. She was bound together. She was not able to stand straight. And she was actually very debilitated. Yet she was in the synagogue to worship the Lord on the Sabbath day. Yes, she could possibly have been a believer because the Lord Jesus Christ refers to her as a daughter of Abraham. And so you look at Luke chapter 13. If you look at chapter 13, Luke chapter 13, and look at verse 16. Luke 13, verse 16. The Lord says this in Luke chapter 13, verse 16. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, you see, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this born on the Sabbath day? This woman must have understood the meaning of the Sabbath day. And she had this desire to observe the Sabbath day. That was why she was in the synagogue to worship the one true living God on the Sabbath day, in spite of the infirmity that she was suffering from. Yes. Now what a great example she set for us. that in spite of her infirmity, there she was in the synagogue to worship the one true living God. Now let's look at ourselves. There are people who at the slightest excuse would absent themselves to come to the house of the Lord to worship Him. Some young people might say, I have a very important examination to sit for, and I'm behind time in my studies. I better spend time studying on Sunday, alright? I'm sure the Lord will understand. And so they don't go to church on Sunday. They spend their time studying. And then there are others who say, today I'm off color. Yes, I'm pretty weary after a week of a very, very hard work in the office. I feel very, very tired. I don't feel like going to church. I'm sure the Lord understands. So the person doesn't go to church. Yes. Then there are others who say, I've got important visitors in town. I got to provide them with good hospitality. Therefore, I'm not going to church to worship the Lord. I'm sure the Lord will understand. Now, my dear friends, don't miss out on the opportunity to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ when your visitors are in town. You have to tell them, yes, if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that your Lord is more important than your visitors. You got to give them this message. Now, what kind of message would you give to them if on the Lord's day you're supposed to go to the house of the Lord to worship the Lord, and then you say, never mind about church, you know, I want to take care of you. What kind of message are you giving to them? You're telling them that your God is not important. My dear friends, it is a very, very good time to tell them that my God is real. He lives in my heart. He is very, very precious to me. I want to go to the house of the Lord to worship Him. You will then be bearing a very good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. So the next time when you have visitors in town, by the grace of God, try to your very, very best to come to the house of the Lord to worship Him and be a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ on the Lord's day. Now, the devotion of this woman to the Lord on the Sabbath surely puts many of us to shame, particularly if we are very well in the body, well in the mind, and at the slightest excuse, we want to absent ourselves from church. Yes, so friends, what would people rather like to do if they do not go to church on the Lord's Day? What would they like to do? Of course, they would like to spend the day doing their own thing. Yes, if they are doing business, they probably want to continue to do business on the Lord's Day. And they say, if I don't do my business on the Lord's Day, then I'm going to miss out on my profit, my earnings. Or some people might say, well, I work very, very hard in the course of the week. Therefore, I deserve some kind of rest, some kind of recreation. And some people just spend their time in idleness on Sunday or just spend their time doing some kind of so-called recreational activities and they would not go to church. Then there are those who love to sleep. I lost a lot of sleep during the course of the week. Sunday is the best time to sleep. So, I sleep. Why? Because it is the day of rest, right? Isn't it true? So, I sleep. Now, indeed, our observance of the Lord's Day lacks true devotion. Actually, lacks true devotion compared to many godly Koreans. Years ago in our kids' club, there was a group of these Korean kids who came and participated in our kids' club activities. One day, my wife got talking to one of the mothers of these Korean children. And this Korean mother, who was a devout believer, said that in Korea, they would spend a lot of the time, a great part of the Lord's Day, in the house of the Lord. And they would go to two worship services on Sunday. And then they say they carry this practice over to Australia. So when they are here, they say they also attend two worship services. And here, the two services are held consecutively, one immediately after another. So after they have finished one service, they take a short break and they come back to the auditorium, sit down and go through another message. My dear friends, what do you call that? You call that fanaticism, right? No, my dear friends, it is devotion to the one true living God. So I'd like to ask ourselves this question. If today, if we were to have two worship services, How many of us here will attend the two worship services? How many? All right, you answer that question yourself. Now, I speak about Calvary Pandan. Not the Pandan in the current situation, but Pandan some 20, 30 odd years ago, when my wife and I were in Singapore at that time, worshipping in Calvary Pandan, Mother Church. Now, we had the evening service just like we have today. We call it the Sunset Gospel Hour. Now, in the evening worship service in those days, there were about 400 worshippers in the evening. And the Sunset Gospel Hour was actually a very, very wonderful service, partly also because it was a means by which we could allow people from other churches, not from Bible Presbyterian churches, to have a look into the kind of doctrines that we believe in. So it was a very, very good opportunity to share with them our doctrinal beliefs. Now, we would expect, of course, lots of our own members to attend the evening service. But I dare say that of the 400 people who attended the evening service, maybe there was only maximum, I think, about 100 persons who were worshippers of the morning worship service as well. Yes. So that 100% will constitute what percentage of the morning worship service? You want to guess? In those days, maybe about 800 to 1,000 people in those days, not as many as we have today in Calvary Pandan. So that will constitute something like maybe 10%, 15%. The question is, what happened to all the rest? The 90% or the 85%? The other people, where were they at the evening worship service? My dear friends, do you seriously think that we would do better than Calvary Pandan did years ago? Now, if we don't do better than Calvary Pandan did years ago, if we were to have the second worship service here in this church, you know, 10%, how many people will be here? Maybe 7, 8 persons. That's all from the morning worship service, coming to the second worship service. My dear friends, I trust we do better than that. Yes, let us learn to be godly like the devout, godly Christians are devout. Now, why wouldn't people go to the house of the Lord to worship Him? Why? Why wouldn't they go to the house of the Lord to worship Him? I dare say it is a lack of love for Him. They don't delight in His day. They don't delight in His presence. My dear friends, if you are in love with a certain person, you would definitely delight to be in that person's presence. The late former President of the United States, President Ronald Reagan, he loved his wife Nancy Reagan so much that he said in his autobiography, he said, "I could not bear to be away from my wife for an extended period of time." He must be with his wife. Why? Because he loved his wife very, very dearly. My dear friends, if we love the Lord, we would definitely delight to be in His presence. Now, I'm not saying that the Lord is not omnipresent. We are always in the presence of the Lord, and that's the truth. But it is also true that the Lord has chosen to be especially present when His people congregate to meet to worship Him. Yes, and that is true. That is why the Lord gave this instruction in regards to the assembling of ourselves in Hebrews chapter 10 verses 24 and 25. Yes, Hebrews chapter 10 verses 24 and 25. These two very familiar verses. Let me read them for you. Hebrews 10, 24, 25. Verse 24. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Yes, the Lord says, assemble yourselves together to provoke one another unto love and unto good works and to encourage one another. Yes, and when the Lord encouraged people to gather together, would He not be in their midst? My dear friends, He would definitely be in their midst. And surely He will be in our midst, my dear friends, if we congregate to worship Him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Like the psalmist, let us say, in the Psalm 112, verse 1, the psalmist says, I was glad when they say unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, why was the psalmist so glad to go into the house of the Lord? Now, he was very, very glad to go into the house of the Lord because he knew that the Lord was present there. The Lord was specially present there. Did he know that the Lord was present with him anywhere he went? Of course he knew. But he delighted to go into the house of the Lord because he knew that the Lord had specially chosen to be present in his own house. That is why he said, I was glad when he said, they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. For what? Of course to worship him. Now our feelings and our attitude towards Sunday is a manifestation of our spiritual condition. How do we feel about Sunday? How do you feel? What is the kind of attitude that we have with regards to Sunday? These kind of feelings and attitudes are a reflection of our spiritual condition. I quote you J.C. Ryle, this great commentator. He says this, the man who can find no pleasure in giving God one day in the week, is manifestly unfit for heaven. Heaven is but an eternal Sabbath. If we cannot enjoy a few hours of service on the Lord's Day, how can we enjoy an eternity of service for Him? Yes, an eternity of service. Can you imagine yourself going to heaven, worshipping the Lord forever and ever? And that's what we'll be doing, my dear friends, worshipping the Lord forever and ever. And if you can't stand coming into the house of the Lord to worship Him for a few hours, how can you ever stand going into an eternity of service unto the Lord? You will have no pleasure there. So, friends, our attitude and feelings towards the Lord's Day are a clear indicator of our spiritual condition. Now, from when should we look forward to Sunday? Many of us, I dare say, don't even care to look forward to Sunday. We wake up on the Sunday morning and we say what? Yes, it's Sunday. Today got to go to church. Many of us think that way, don't we? We wake up on Sunday, that's what we say. Others might say, as I said earlier on, oh, I don't feel very well. I'm quite under the weather. And so I think I better not go to church today. So we find all kinds of excuses not to go to church. Now, this kind of attitude speaks very much about our love for the Lord. I remember years ago meeting this teacher from the Philippines. I was a school teacher at that time also. And I met him overseas. And then he was a teacher who was teaching in another village. Not the village that he lived in. The village that he lived in was quite a distance from the village that he worked in. So every day of the week, working days of the week, he would be in the village where his school was located. During the weekends, he would be going home to gladly meet with his wife and his family. And he said this, every day of the week he was looking forward to go home. Why? Why? Now he was looking very much to go back home because he loved his family very dearly. He loved his wife, he loved his children. So every day of the week, of the weekdays, he was looking forward to the weekends. Do you think that he started looking forward to the weekends on Friday morning or Monday morning? Which day? Of course, Monday morning, yes. From the start of the week, he'll be looking forward to the end of the week when he will be meeting his wife and his children, whom he delighted to meet with. Now, my friends, yes, when do you think we should be looking forward to the Lord's Day? Friday, Saturday, Thursday, or Monday? My dear friends, that should be our attitude. We should be looking forward to the Lord's Day as of Monday. It is a day of celebration, a day of rejoicing, my dear friends. So let us all have that kind of attitude towards the Lord's Day. And happy are they who do what this woman who was afflicted with this infirmity did on the Sabbath. The Lord blessed her with a great blessing. Yes, she must have become very, very happy because the Lord blessed her with a great blessing. Likewise, my dear friends, the Lord blesses us spiritually with spiritual healing today, just as he blessed this woman with a physical healing that day. Now today, if you are spiritually sick and are in need of spiritual healing, if you need to be saved from your sins, my dear friends, the Lord is here to save you. If you would only turn to him and say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I know I'm diseased with this disease known as sin. Lord, please forgive me my sins. Cleanse me of my sins. Heal me of my sins. Will not the Lord hear your prayer? My dear friends, he will surely hear your prayer and he will heal you. Now, there is great blessing for us if we were to observe the Lord's Day the way he wants us to observe. Alright, I want us to look at the blessings that he has for us on the Lord's Day. Please turn with me to Isaiah 58 and look at verses 13 and 14. Look at the kind of blessings the Lord poured upon the children of Israel, or promised to pour upon the children of Israel. Isaiah 58 verses 13 to 14. Isaiah 58, 13 to 14. Isaiah 58, 13 to 14. Let me read these two verses for you. All right, verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, in other words, if you don't trample your foot upon the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, if you turn your foot from doing your pleasure on my holy day, meaning to say the Sabbath, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways. You see, not doing your own ways, not finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. That was the promise the Lord gave to the children of Israel, to the Israelites, all right, to the Jews. God said this, I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. In other words, you will continue to possess this land which I promised your father Abraham, your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you will be enjoying the milk and honey in this land. And not only that, I will cause you to ride in high places. You will be occupying places of honor on this earth. Other nations will be honoring you. Now, how does that apply to us, my dear friends? I like what one commentator said about this verse of 14. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. This commentator says this, right? He says that we've got many problems and challenges and events that we have to encounter in our life. Yes, we can either be snow under, or we can either be managing them and be above them. This commentator says that we will be above them. That is what the Lord promises us. We will be able to manage them, provided we observe the Lord's Day as the Lord wants us to observe. Isn't it a great blessing, my dear friends, if we are able to manage all our problems, our challenges, the events of our life, and be on the top of them rather than be snowed under? Surely this is a great blessing upon us. And this is the promise given to us, my dear friends, if we observe the Lord's Day as he wants us to observe. Now listen to this testimony concerning the observance of the Lord's Day. There was this pastor who called on this his congregation member, a young married man, a few times. He actually had invited him to teach a class of 15-year-old boys. But this young man refused. And the wife finally told this young man to tell the pastor the truth, why he was not going to church, and that why he was not willing to teach the class of 15-year-old boys. The real reason was that he was very interested in playing golf and didn't want to go to church on Sunday. But finally, he was convinced that he should take up the challenge to teach the class of 15-year-old boys and to give up playing golf on Sunday. There were 6 unsaved boys in his class. One after another were brought to the Lord. And finally, after 5 months, he brought the 6th boy to the Lord. And after the worship service on that day, the pastor asked him, has it been worth your while giving up your golf on Sundays? And with great joy and tears in his eyes, this young man said, This is the greatest time of my life. I had rather spend my time telling others about Christ who has done so much for me. I'm sorry that I did not begin teaching years ago and instead wasted my time on worldly things. So, my dear friends, he observed the Lord's day the way the Lord wanted him to observe, and the Lord rewarded him with the reaping of souls, the reaping of the souls of six unsaved boys. So the next question is, what can I do on the Lord's Day? Alright, what am I permitted to do on the Lord's Day? Now the Jews observed the Sabbath day to the very letter, just as they observed the rest of the laws of the Ten Commandments. So when they talk about resting on the Sabbath day, they literally rest. Yes, they literally rest today. They won't even lift up their finger to turn on the switch in the home. And that's the truth. Our very, very senior pastor, Reverend Timothy Toh, who had gone home to be with the Lord, years ago visited his Jewish friends in Israel, the Ben Ashers. And he said he was astounded by what he saw. He said the Ben Ashers did not even lift up their finger to turn on the switches or to turn off the switches in the home. They installed timers to control the switches in the home. Yes, and that's what they did. Because to them, lifting the finger to turn on the switch or to turn it off is working. And here I understand that there are some Jews, Orthodox Jews, who are trying to put pressure on local councils to install sensors, auto sensors at street crossings to control the appearance of the green man. So that you approach the crossing, you don't have to use your finger to press the button to cause the green man to show. Yes, that's what they plan to do. And that's the way they interpret the observance of the Sabbath day. Now, in the case of the Jews during the days of our Lord Jesus Christ on this earth, they were observing the laws to the very letter, so much so that when the Lord Jesus Christ healed on the Sabbath day, they accused him of working or breaking the Sabbath. And so we read in Luke chapter 13, verses 14 to 15. Luke chapter 13, 14 to 15. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, verse 14, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed and not on the Sabbath. The Lord then answered this ruler of the synagogue and said, thou hypocrite! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? The Lord's answer to this ruler of the synagogue was very, very plain and simple. If you have animals that need to drink water on the Sabbath day, would you not show mercy to your animals by loosening your animals, and then allowing them to drink? The Lord said, you know how to show mercy to these animals, your animals, and here we have a daughter of Abraham suffering from this infirmity for the last 18 years, and you would not show mercy to her to allow her to be healed on the Sabbath day. How hypocritical can you be? Now, my dear friends, the teaching is plain. We may show acts of mercy on the Lord's day. It will be really good, my dear friends, if we could engage ourselves in spiritual activities on the Lord's Day. It would be good if we could engage ourselves in maybe hospital visitation on the Lord's Day. Now, surely it is very, very good that we are now able to minister to the old folks in the aged care homes on the Lord's Day. Yes, these are acts of mercies. Surely the Lord is very, very pleased with what we are doing. And I'm very, very thankful that there are those in our midst who are very willing to engage themselves, to involve themselves in this ministry. May you continue to do so. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you and bless you for this labor of love and this work of mercy. Now, there was a time also when the Lord walked through a cornfield to pluck ears of corn to eat on the Sabbath day. Now, there was nothing wrong, according to the Mosaic laws, to go into somebody's cornfield when you are hungry to pick a corn to eat. Just like in Australia, I do not know whether it's the case or not. In time past, you could actually walk into an orchard and you could pluck oranges from the trees and you can eat them for free. Yes, that was the case in time past. I don't know whether it's still the case or not. Yes, But the Lord did that on the Sabbath day. He went into the ear, into the cornfield, plucked ears of corn along with his disciples because they were hungry and they ate them. And then these Pharisees, the religious leaders, accused the Lord and his disciples of breaking the Sabbath. They say, you are working. And then the Lord had to counter their accusation by citing an incident in the Old Testament with regards to the case of King David. David, he was not king at that time yet. He was running away from King Saul along with several of his men. And they went into the house of the Lord. And they ate the showbread in the house of the Lord. The showbread was not for anybody else to eat, but for the priests only. But David and his men ate the showbread. Why? Because it was necessary for them to eat. They were hungry, and they were running from King away, running from King Saul, because King Saul was after the life of David. So the Lord said it was permissible for David and his men to do so, because it was an act of mercy. They were hungry. So my dear friends, acts of mercy, or acts of, rather, it was an act of necessity because they were hungry. So acts of necessity are permissible on the Lord's day. Now think of it, my dear friends, if bus drivers and train drivers do not work on the Lord's day, we won't have public transport. If pilots don't work on the Sunday, yes, planes don't fly on Sunday. If nurses and doctors don't work on Sundays, patients won't be treated on Sunday. If firemen don't work on Sunday, fires won't be put out on Sunday if the fires occur on a Sunday. So it is clear acts of mercy and acts of necessity are permitted on the Lord's day. Now the next question is, what can the Lord of the Sabbath do? Or what is the Lord able to do on the Sabbath day? Now I'd like us to look at Luke chapter 13 again. Alright, look at verse 12. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now for sure, the Lord Jesus Christ saw this woman. That is what he can do. He saw this woman, and he saw the need of this woman, and he had compassion on this woman who was stricken with this infirmity for 18 years. Yes, and in the Word of God, we have the case of the Lord Jesus Christ seeing other people, not necessarily on the Sabbath, not necessarily on the Sabbath day, but he saw them, and he had compassion on them. There was this man who was blind from birth in the temple of Jerusalem, and the Lord saw him. The Lord had mercy on him, had compassion on him, and the Lord healed him. And then there was the case of this woman who had this issue of blood for 12 years. The Lord Jesus Christ was thronged by a big crowd. But he saw this woman, and he healed this woman of her issue of blood. Then you remember the case of Zacchaeus, the short man, who wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ, but could not see him because he was short of stature. And so what he did was, he climbed up the sycamore tree, because the Lord Jesus Christ was thronged by a big crowd to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, but more importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ saw him. My dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ surely sees us today. Do you believe that, friends, that you are here today, that he sees you and he sees me, he sees every one of us? That is what, my dear friends, he's able to do, and he knows exactly what we are in need of. Now, some people go to big churches like our Calvary Pandan so that they will not be noticed. They prefer it that way. They sleep into the church quietly and then sleep out of the church. And they want to be as inconspicuous as possible. They want to be left alone. And some of such people come to the church for what purpose? They want to be left alone. They just come actually to ease their conscience. They want to come and then tell themselves, oh, I have already performed my Sunday duty. I've already gone to church. And that's it. They want to solve their conscience. But even though they might want to be inconspicuous, the Lord is able to see them. The Word of God says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He knows exactly what is in our heart. Does he not know if we came to church for the purpose of just solving our conscience, easing our conscience? Does he not know? Of course he knows. And if we come to the church with that kind of a thought in mind, can we expect the Lord to pour blessings down upon us? Can we? Of course we can. Yes, because the Lord knows exactly why we are coming to church. Simply to ease our conscience. That's all. Not to worship him. Now, one of the purposes the Lord has for us for coming into his house to worship him is to have us come together to encourage one another in the most holy faith. It is for us to come together to provoke one another unto love and unto good works. My dear friends, surely this is a great blessing from him to us. Friends, we surely miss out on a great blessing if we came to the house of the Lord without the right purpose, coming here just to ease our conscience. We miss out this blessing of provoking one another unto love and unto good works. We miss out on the blessing of encouraging one another in the most holy faith. Now, if we persist in coming to the house of the Lord just for the purpose of easing our conscience, do you not think that in time we'll grow cold? Yes, my dear friends, we'll grow cold in time, for sure. But for all of us who come here genuinely with the purpose of worshiping him and of encouraging one another in the most holy faith with all our needs in our hearts, will he not meet our needs? Will he not? Yes, he will. Is he not able to meet our needs? Yes, he will. Is he not faithful enough to meet our needs? Yes, he's faithful enough to meet our needs. And just as he healed that woman who was stricken with that infirmity for 18 years, yes, had her needs met, we will have our needs met, my dear friends, if we come sincerely into his house to worship him the way he wants us to worship him. Now let's not forget, this God of ours is all powerful. He created the whole wide universe out of nothing. Is anything too hard for him? Nothing is too hard for him. He can save even the vilest sinner. Even if our past had been too shameful and too vile to talk about, my dear friends, he is still able to save. He's still able to heal because he's the all-powerful God. He's the ever-loving God, and he's very absolutely kind, absolutely merciful. So how should we treat the Lord's Day, my friends? We are to keep it holy, as the Lord wants us to keep it holy. And the chief activity of the Lord's Day must be to worship him. Number one activity, the woman stricken with this infirmity for 18 years has set us the example. She went into the house of the, went into the synagogue to worship the one true living God in spite of her very, very debilitated condition. Let us not, my dear friends, at the slightest excuse, absent ourselves from coming to the house of the Lord to worship him. Now, if we really love him, if we say that we love him, then we must express our love for him by worshiping him. Our attitude towards the Lord's Day reflects our spiritual condition, as I said earlier on. I read to you once again what J.C. Ryle said. All right, once again, let me read this to you. The man who can find no pleasure in giving God one day in the week is manifestly unfit for heaven. Heaven is but an eternal Sabbath. If we cannot enjoy a few hours of service on the Lord's Day, how can we enjoy an eternity of service for him? We can't. Let's use the Lord's Day as he wants us to use it so that he will pour down his blessings upon us. If there are acts of necessity for us to perform, let's perform them. If there are acts of mercy for us to perform, let us perform them. Finally, let us believe that this God of ours, who is the Lord of the Sabbath, is the all-powerful God. Nothing is impossible with him. Yes, he's the omniscient God. He sees everything. He knows our every need. My dear friends, does he not know our need today? If we come sincerely to worship him and ask him to address our needs, will he not address our needs? Will he not meet our needs? My dear friends, he will, because he's both able and faithful to meet our needs. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, O Lord God, for teaching us how we should be observing the Lord's Day. We pray that our attitude towards the Lord's Day might be right. Father, we pray that we may observe it the way you want us to observe. Father, we pray that our attitude must be right. If we truly love you, we will love the Lord's Day. We will love to come to the house of the Lord to worship you. So, Lord, we pray that we may observe this day as what you have instructed us to do. And Father, we pray that you teach us to glorify your holy name, especially on the Lord's Day. And Father, we pray that for those who have got some special needs to be addressed on the Lord's Day, Father, we know that you are very merciful. You are able to meet all those needs because you are able and faithful. We pray that by your grace, you will meet those needs as those who are in need would want the needs to be met. We pray that you will be very gracious and kind. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.